seated. What a great morning. It's great to have Brandon and Glenna back with us. They are, yes, absolutely. I'm sure the applause is for Glenna. Where's Brandon? No, I think he already stepped out, so I'm okay. Yeah, it is great to have them. We've been doing some crossover, and you're going to hear more about that as we just as we look at some of the crossover issues from the church. And Tracy, if you're a guest this morning, we say it every week. We mean it every week. You're not here by mistake. You're here by design. God has you here for a reason. No matter why you think you may have come this morning, God says, no, there's a reason for you being here. But what is also as great is I know that in just a few moments as they begin at our church plant in Tracy, that those people there are there for a reason. They're there that God wants them to be there. And Pastor Ben's going to have a message to them that God's going to use in their life and their heart. And that's exciting to see that wherever you dwell, wherever there's two or three are gathered together, he's there in the midst of us. And he wants to be with us. He wants to challenge us. He wants to communicate with us. So we are glad that you're with us. And we have the crossover with a number of things and the bands and the leaders and different people going and coming. And so it's a great situation. We have been talking since the beginning of the year about the blessing of some things. We looked at initially the blessing of resolution. That the resolution that we looked at, the blessing of resolution, the act of resolving to do something, a firm determination. And we looked at that from a spiritual standpoint, not from, you know, I'm going to desire to do this and do that, make a resolution to do this and go to the gym and all that kind of stuff, but a spiritual resolution. And the point within that is that God wants to do a new thing. God doesn't see just the date on the calendar at all. In fact, he says every morning, his mercies are new every morning. Every day he wants to do something new in our lives, in my life. To live every day in that wonder of knowing God. To live every day and saying, God, today you give me breath. And today I can experience you. Today I can see what you want to do in my life. That spiritual resolution that God, you want to do something new. And as we looked at that, to change our focus to say, God, wherever I'm at, whatever I awake to, whatever, whether Tracy, Manteca, Lathrop, Ripon, wherever I'm at, God, you want to do something new. And to challenge us to do so. Then the week after that, we looked at the issue of the blessing of reach. The blessing of reach. And as we looked at the blessing of reach, the whole idea of what is the influence there. I will never forget that day because that's when my openers bombed completely, if you'll remember, if you were here. They were not going anywhere. No matter how I tried to engage, they just weren't going to happen. But I remember the point being, it's not about how we start the service, it's how we walk out the door. It's how we reach to those around us. What is your sphere of influence? The blessing that God has given us to reach people, to share Christ with people. And we looked at evangelism in that. And the reality of evangelism is just sharing what you personally have experienced with Jesus to others. We looked at the gospel. We know the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And that's what saves us. We know the theology of it. But what people need to hear, what people need to see, is not just a theological base. Yes, it needs to have theological truth within there. But our evangelism, my sharing, is sharing with people personally what Christ has done in my life. It doesn't need to be sterile. It doesn't need to be a textbook. It doesn't need to be, here's a tract, read it and come to know Jesus. The best evangelism ever is when you share what God is doing in your life. And the challenge there in the blessing of reach is really is if he's alive in your life, if it was important enough for you to know. And I dare say that anybody who knows Christ would never say, I don't want to go without Christ. If it's important enough to know, then it must be important enough to share. And that's the blessing of reach. That's the blessing of reach. But we also have within the blessing of reach the issue of why we even looked at Tracy and why we even, as we start, and our goal is as to plant churches and to build other areas. And last week I asked Vince to go over to Tracy. And he was going to kind of share with them what we've had here. And I've asked Vince to come back here. Do I have a wire? Oh, come on up here, Vince. I've asked him to share briefly here exactly what God has done. Are we on here? No, but we will be. We will be. We have the power. Hi, Vince.
Hello.
So last week he was there. Hello? He went to Tracy. And was telling them how we've been praying for them and what's going on here. And I asked him, see, he came back, and man, he was just kind of bubbling over. And so talking about the blessing of reach, that is really part of our reach. It's part of our family over there, and we go back and forth. But just share with us what you saw, what you experienced, the impressions, the the blessing of reach that you were able to experience?
It was kind of, we walked in, you had the gym, the you guys, some people here, a lot of people here weren't part of that original,
when we
having
started
to build and tear down every Sunday over there. They're doing that again. But they were able to kind of change some of the feeling of the room. And so you walked in, and I got to see one of the people who lived directly across the street, who Ben had us go canvas with the flyers. He was there, and there was another family that had already come to the church and were gone that week, but were coming back. And so it's already starting to kind of to grow, and Ben did a wonderful job preaching, and it was, once again, the music was great. And so it was just basically the DNA over there, but with that, with the Tracy kind of flavor. It did not have a Lathrop flavor for sure, which I liked, because you don't want, you know, this isn't McDonald's, right? And so it was really kind of cool, because I think that's what God is going to be using in Tracy, is that Tracy dynamic and the flavor of Tracy to reach Tracy, because Lathrop won't really reach Tracy. I said that a lot. I say that a lot. Kind of redundant. But it was amazing. I came back in my mind. My heart was interesting. I was resolved for prayer and to pray for that campus and this one, for the leaders, for the musicians, and for the people who do the sound and all the behind the scenes people. I took a picture and I forgot to send it to you. I was going to send it to you. Them tearing down and just kind of like, remember this. But it was just wonderful and refreshing. And next service, I'll probably have Suddy come up, because they have the kids right next to where they're talking. So it'd be like right there. So as they fall down and get hurt, in the middle of Ben's sermon, like, you can hear the kid get hurt. And so it was just, it's going to have that Woo-hoo! Very
that
small. It's going to be small. But it's growing already. And it was just refreshing to see that God's at work. He's at work.
So as you walked away, your heart was, give me a word.
I would say overflowing.
Okay.
I was bubbling over. I came into, because you had a board's meeting, and so I couldn't stop talking.
We noticed. At the board meeting,
It was, I can't shut up.
But that was a blessing, wasn't it?
It was great. It's a wonderful thing, and I know we all can't go over, but if you get a chance, and if you're in Tracy, go get blessed. I mean, it's awesome over there. If you're over there on a Sunday, be you know, participate, tear down. Set, we took chairs down and just try to be a part of it. God's working, you know. And here, you could also set up chairs here. We do that
most
Sundays.
Most Sundays.
Get involved.
Thank you, Vince. The blessing of reach. Actually, you know what? Why don't you just pray for them, because they're going to start here in a few minutes.
Okay.
Why don't you just pray for them?
Father, this morning, my heart, just from the music and from being able to praise you corporately as a group, Lord, I just, I can't help but be filled with joy and amazing wonder at how you work at times when we're asleep. And Father, I pray this morning as Ben is getting prepared and the church and the musicians and everybody are getting their hearts, trying to line them up with your will, Lord, that you would do a work and you would magnify your name and be seen as amazing and glorious as who you really are. Help them to telescope you to Tracy. Father, and I pray that here we would telescope you to this community as well. Thank you for allowing us to be a participant in your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Vince. The blessing of reach, as we look at reach, that reach isn't just a church. The issue of reach is our own life. How are we using our life to reach the people around us? This morning, I want to continue with the blessing of, and the reason that we can reach, the issue of what the message is the blessing of reconciliation. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, because we recently had a series on big words and bigger meanings, and we went through some big words in the Bible, those 25-cent words, but actually had even bigger meanings. Reconciliation was one of those words that we looked at. So as you can go to the website and find it, or you can pull up the notes. But as we looked at reconciliation in that sense is a term that on a human level we know pretty much about it. When you reconcile, if you've been if you've been estranged from a family member and you reconcile, you come back together and you reconcile. If you've reconciled the bank statements, the same type of thing. You're reconciling. You're making sure that it all lines up. We reconcile issues. We understand what that means. And lenders and borrowers, reconciliation is a relational term. It is a manward term. It is what has changed in us. As we come to reconciliation, there's a couple of verses that really speak well to it. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Another verse is Colossians chapter 1. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you, brought us together, in essence, by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. The word reconciliation actually means to change completely. To change completely. Marvin, can you roll back up to Romans chapter 5? If you can, pull back up Romans chapter 5. Now let's take that term and put that in where he says here reconciled. Because it gives us a better sense, instead of that 25-cent word reconciliation, to change completely. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were changed completely to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been changed completely, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through him, for we now have received a complete change. That's reconciliation. In reconciliation in our life, we have gone from being totally unacceptable to totally acceptable. We are unconditionally accepted by God. Now, some of you need to think about that. Do not just blow by that, because some of you will have to ponder that for a minute. Because some of you will be sitting here saying, wait a minute, you don't know what I did last night. Or you don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. And you need to know that this is probably one of the most freeing truths that you'll ever find. That when God saved you, he sanctified you, he reconciled you, he made you holy, he sees you as holy. Your sins are forgiven, past, present, tomorrow. And God sees you right now as totally, unconditionally acceptable. That's the way he sees you. And you, if you grew up like I did, where there was the sin hit list, and every Sunday I grew up with it, and boy, if you got it, you better start checking it off. And you thought, I'm supposed to have joy in Christ. Look at all the checks on this. A man is like, oh, I didn't want to go to church. I knew how I failed. I didn't need to have them pointed out and then add something I forgot about. All the issues of our life. And yet when we come to know Christ and it becomes nothing more than legalism and works-based, if you think that you can make yourself acceptable to God, you cannot, except by belief in him. And 1 John 2 says, why? How do I know I'm accepted? Because I have an advocate with the Father, one who stands on my behalf, who's in saying, hey, no, that's been taken care of. It's paid for because I was the one who paid it. It's reconciled. I'm changed completely. Now, there's two aspects of reconciliation. The two first is the sufficient aspect of reconciliation. Because he says, much like salvation, salvation is available to all men. Reconciliation, being changed completely, is available to all men. So there's this worldview that, yes, you can be, every person can be totally and conditionally accepted by God. That's the sufficiency of it. But the efficiency of it says to those who believe. To the efficiency of it. So there are some who will take this, and we looked at this, and I'm not going to go back over all the whole series of the big words. But the reality is we need to understand that Christ died for the sins of the whole world. But that is the sufficiency of Christ. The efficiency of Christ is redeemable for those who believe. And there are some who say, oh no, he says he died for the sins of the whole world. We're done. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to believe. But that doesn't square with the entirety of Scripture. That we must come to the point in our life where we place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a universal salvation. We must place our trust in Christ. And once we do that, then we understand that the sufficiency of our salvation has moved to the efficiency of his salvation. That he's changed us completely. He's justified us. He's sanctified us. He's put us in his family. And we are reconciled. And today, some of you need to throw off the failures of the past. And throw off the guilt. And you need to heal the shame that binds you through the wounds that were suffered for you by the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands on your behalf, who says, you know, get over it, get on with life, get up, dust yourself off, and go. And man, there are so many people bound by our failures. Bound by them. And I know even this last week as I talked to some, they cannot wrap their head around being forgiven and free. They just can't wrap it. And yet if you can't get past that, you will never move past that. You'll never be able to have the blessing of reach. Why would you want to show somebody a God who's going to make you feel guilty and shameful all the days of your life? It would be better to live in the world and make yourself your own God, and I can do my own thing and not feel guilty about it. What blessing of reconciliation is there if there is no reconciliation? If I have to get on that spiritual treadmill and work for it, I'm always going to be the slow man on the treadmill. The blessing of reconciliation. It's no better seen within this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Man, these are great verses. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you've given your life to Christ, you are placed in Christ. He sealed you into the day of redemption. He is a new creation. You, if you are a believer today, you are a new creation. And that new God wants to do a new work every day in our life. Renewing us daily. We are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who changed us completely, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be changed by God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is foundational truth that ought to make you shout, glory, hallelujah, praise God. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. That I'm the righteousness of God has been placed within me, his imputed righteousness. And what that does as we come to that, this blessing of the issue of reconciliation, he's given us the ministry, and what the blessing of reconciliation moves us to the blessing of replication. When we have been changed, part of the goal, now some of you don't like change, I understand that. And you hear me say often that if you're in the Christian life, you better just, you know, saddle up the horses because you're going to be in change mode. Every day we should be in change mode. Some of you like your little structure. I mean, we change the chairs in here like we change it all the time. Some of you come in and you get all antsy. Where'd my chair go? Well, I don't know exactly which chair was yours, but it's someplace in the building sitting one, okay? It doesn't matter to me, you know? And you have to, and we're going to, you know, you'll probably come back Sunday, and in this service right now, we have enough chairs. In the next service, we're going to have to, because we got people too far in the back, and so we're going to change them all for next Sunday. Listen, but the Christian life, beyond chairs, is that every day as I wake up, it should be the prayer of my heart, God, change me today. Conform me to the image of your Son. Show me what it's like to be like you. But within that brings us to the blessing of replication. We looked at Matthew and Mark where he says, go, go, the imperative, go and make disciples. Go, and that was the first one. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. If it's important for you enough to know, it's important for you enough for you to share. But the replication says not only are we to go, we are to proclaim. That we've been given the message of reconciliation, that we are proclaimed the Lord's death, that we remember the Lord's death. Communion, we looked at, remember? Communion, there's a part of remembering that what he's done for us, but the second half of the communion is go and proclaim this to the world. Go and proclaim what he has done to the world, that we go, we proclaim. And yet within that, the natural part of that is to replicate, to teach, to train, to mentor, to become, saying it's not just about me, it's about passing that on. 2 Timothy 2:2. This is a verse. Paul says, and these things you have heard from me, say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Over and over in the Word, in so many places, it's telling us to pass this on, to pass this on, to replicate into life of others, to replicate it from not only from parent to children, but from the people around us in our neighborhoods, to be salt, to light, not just for evangelism, but to be able to make disciples. To mentor disciples. We have to have the insight in our mind to replicate others. I know some people say, well, why do you want to start a church? Why do you want to start other churches? Why do you have in your vision to start two more churches? Why do you have that? Listen, it is not just about, yes, there's the part of the blessing of reach, because we place people in that community. We can reach that community. But beyond that, today, there are twice as many people going to be serving. Why? Because we got people serving here, and we have people serving in Tracy today, replicating what God can do. So instead of saying, well, I can serve only here when they can allow me to serve, now we have twice as many, and we want three times as many and four times as many of people saying, I can serve. Why do you need to serve and stand up here? Because we lost half the people that we could rotate in here to go there. The blessing of replication, that's on a church structure. But in our own life, to replicate what God has done in our life, to replicate what we see God doing in our life. But the problem with replication is this. You cannot give what you do not have. You cannot give what you do not have. And we can talk about it all you want. But if it's important enough to know that Christ changed your life, if you know that today, whether you are a student or whether you're a senior saint, if God has changed your life, you know that and you're thankful for that and you've seen that, but it must be shared. But if you don't have a passion for God changing me today and reaching my world, and I understand reconciliation that you've changed me, if you do not have that, if you do not have the desire to see people come to know Christ, if you do not have the desire to replicate what you have had and learned and given and learned in the Word, if you don't have it, you cannot give it to someone else. Man, the challenge to our seniors, and I don't mean seniors in high school, to those of you who are seniors out here, you sit back and you say, you know what, I've done it. I've been there. I've done it, and let some of the younger people do it. They need to be seeing you do it, to mentor, to replicate them to do it. They need to see the faithful men who have people who have been in the church, yeah, man, you, for years. And guess what? You're ending well, you're ending strong, and you're still replicating. You're still saying, this is what we need to be, because I have it and I want to give it. Listen, a passion for Christ cannot be shared if a passion for Christ isn't had. Do you have a passion today to see God work in your life? To live in that wonder of knowing God every day? To see the not just the beauty of creation, but the beauty of a word spoken, the beauty of sharing, the beauty of reaching, the beauty of saying, God, in some small way, you use me in this life. Do you have a passion to see God at work? The bottom line here, replication, a changed life changes lives. That's the bottom line. A changed life changes lives. It is not about a textbook. It is not about a textbook. It is not about a class. It is about sharing life. I think sometimes we get so often caught up on discipleship that we're going to go through a book. Man, I think most people who are at the frame of being able to teach a book need to forget the book and share their life. Because a changed life changes lives. And we can read it in a book and it becomes very sterile. It can be very textbook. Okay, this is what God's Word says. Go do it. But when it's sharing a life to replicate what God is doing to make disciples, it is often, and this is from my heart in replication, it is often seeing something in someone that they don't even see in themselves. It is often wanting more. And I will tell you as a pastor, this is hurtful. But it's true. It is often wanting more for a person spiritually than they can even imagine. I mean, there's some people in our church, there's some ladies and men in our church that have so much ability and so much spiritual insight and so much talent that they can't even see how God could possibly use them to reach their sphere, to reach beyond their sphere, to replicate and to invest in others. And sometimes it is, as the mentor, it's looking at people and seeing something in themselves that they don't even see. We have men in this church who need to be progressing to ministry, who need to be saying, we have women in this church who need to be saying, okay, I need to minister. I need to be doing some things. It is encouraging them to trust. It is encouraging them to stretch. It is encouraging, yes, to risk. It is encouraging them to sacrifice. It is encouraging them to change their priorities, change their worldview, change what's really important in their life. Because as we mentor others If we're going to show them the life that God's given us, we need to be able to say, listen, follow me. I think it's important. You can look up Philippians chapter 3 where Paul says, join with others. And what does he say? And some people say, well, he's being arrogant. I don't think so at all. Paul says, join with others and follow my example. That's why I say at times, listen, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we are going to be the visible representation of Christ. We are going to be the Christ that some will only see. It's going to be in us. We are to be that human, visible representation of Christ. As he has changed us, as people see that, the glory and honor goes to him and him alone. That I'm not the man that I was, and here's why. And here's the areas of my life that need to be changed and are changed, and here's why. When we have the blessing of replication, we strive together, we grow together, we fail together, we're forgiven together, we start again together. It's being together. So this question this morning is, one, what are you replicating? What is your life showing? What is it replicating? What is it replicating to your kids? What's the priority to your kids? Do they see Jesus as the priority in your life? What's the replication of your, is it a work ethic? Is it money? What is it? Is it Jesus? And I think the question for us, individually, not in the corporate way, not in the church, but individually, is who am I replicating? Who am I replicating? Is there anybody that I'm pouring life into, that I'm sharing life with, that the goal is to replicate what God's doing in my life? The blessing of reconciliation should be seen in the blessing of replication, to be used, to be served. It is way too easy for some of you to sit in that chair and be a spectator instead of saying, God, I need to step out and be a participant in the process of watching you move. Let's pray.